Episode 59.
You can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
You're listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. Building internet businesses one night at a time. And now, here's your host, Mark Mason.
Hey, I'm really excited to be back on the mic less than 2 months from my prior episode. Actually, it's only been a few days. How cool is that? So I'm back. Very exciting. And I have something great for you today. I have a fantastic interview with Dan Miller. He's been one of my heroes for a long time. He has the 48 Days podcast and a fantastic interactive online community over at 48days.net. Dan is also the author of at least three books that I've read anyway. I've actually read three of his books. The most latest is When Wisdom Meets Passion, which is a book that he wrote with his son. Probably his most famous book and was a New York Times bestseller, which is 48 Days to the Work You Love. Excellent book for those of you that are looking for a change in career. And he's updating that right now, in the process of updating it. So that's also very, very cool. Dan's a great guy. And one of the things that he helps people do is hook up with work that they love. And one of the questions that makes him an expert on is, what do people love and how do they figure that out? And so, since that's an issue that we often face in affiliate marketing, when we're trying to figure out what to make these niche sites about, what do I care about and what if I don't care about anything, or what if I care about a bunch of things? That's the question that I wanted to put to Dan. And while he doesn't have a silver bullet answer for everybody, because every case is different, he does have some great insight about passion and where to find it and what it means and how to apply it and how important it is. And so I think this is a really good interview. It also was a case of one of my first ever epic meltdowns in an interview. I had the most amazing, complete, and total system failure. And it was amazing because it was my Mac. And that never happens. I mean, my Mac that I use in my studio, I bet it's been booted, oh, I don't know, four times. I mean, when I ran Windows, I rebooted my machine a couple of times a week at least, sometimes a couple of times a day. This Mac, it just runs forever. I mean, it's a Unix machine after all. It doesn't need to reboot. But this thing locked up so badly, it killed Skype, it killed the recording, and I ended up having to record the second half of the interview using some emergency equipment in open air in my study. You'll definitely hear this in the interview. And so that's the reason the audio quality is the way it is. Dan was a super great sport about all this, but it was kind of funny. I mean, Dan's a podcaster. He gets this. But the funny thing was, I wanted to do Skype to Skype, and Dan was like, no, I don't want to do that. Skype always messes up for me. I can never get it to work right. And I was like, that's fine. I'll use Skype, and I'll call you on your landline. Well, of course, Dan cursed me in some way because Skype totally melted down during the interview. So I, a little behind-the-scenes information there of what it takes to get great content directly to your iPod, I'm telling you. So there you go. I hope you enjoy this interview. Dan is an absolutely wonderful guy, and if you want to, you know, if you want to feel good once a week, check out Dan's podcast over at 48days.com. He's got a great podcast that I enjoy listening to every week. Here's my interview with Dan. All right, so this has been coming for a long time. You guys know back in February, I did the work. I called Dan Miller, and you might be wondering, how do you get a guy like Dan Miller to come on your show? And I'm going to tell you, you just ask. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent, Mark. How are you?
I'm fantastic. And isn't it amazing the kinds of things that you can accomplish in your life if you just understand what it is that you want and then do the work and ask?
Absolutely. It amazes me the resources, the connections, the opportunities people miss, just because they don't ask. They're just sitting right there in front of them just to ask.
So I know that in my listening audience, there might be a person or two that has never had the distinct pleasure of reading one of your books or listening to your show, which I love your show, by the way. When people ask you what you do, Dan, what do you tell them?
You know, I love to respond to that. My mother-in-law, bless her heart, has never understood what I do. She finally started just telling people I'm a con man, which I'm very, very content with. You know, my dad was a farmer. He was bivocational. He pastored a little church, but then we were farmers to keep food on the table. You know, he never really could understand what I did. I mean, he loved it. He was proud. He'd see me on TV, and he always had books to give away in his room, even at the nursing home in his last years. So he was proud of me, but he never really could get his head around. You know, he understands if you milk cows and sell the milk, or if you grow corn and you take the corn to market, but you get paid to talk and to think. To write? How's that work? So I'm in this world, much unlike the farming world that I grew up in, where I do get paid to coach, speak, and write. And I love the opportunities that are connected with that. Now, I'm very supportive of work models where people work with their hands. I mean, I still get a charge out of, you know, painting a room or getting out and mowing the grass. So I'm not saying that what I'm doing is the only thing to do, but I found this space where I've had the opportunity to coach people going through these relentless, inevitable career transitions now for 20-some years. So in coaching them, that opened up the opportunities then for people saying, wow, I want to share what you just talked about in our Sunday school class with my son-in-law who's been without work for 6 months. And so that kind of pushed me in the direction of creating printed materials. And then we got into this whole arena of doing audio products and teleseminars. So I've just kind of followed all these new opportunities that keep appearing. Podcasting like this. I love podcasting. And those things all together have created some just really interesting and fulfilling opportunities for me. So I'm an author, speaker, coach.
Yeah, and if I were to sum it up, it seems like from my point of view, all that authorship, all these, you know, particularly the three pillar books that you have in your under your name, and then all of these shows that you do on the radio, and all of these other communications that you do at 48days.net, the core value proposition in all of that is always, seems to be, at least to me, helping people.
Well, it is, and I've branded behind this 48 days for a long time now. That really is, you know, my mantra. That's what sets me apart from all the other authors, career coaches out there, and there's lots of them. But I'm the guy who says you can change your life in dramatic ways in 48 days if you create a plan and act on it. So really my kind of core, my home, my identity is transformation in 48 days. And that has just been like somebody poured gasoline on what I was doing as a generic coach years ago.
Yeah, it's an excellent book. I've read it twice. You and I have talked about how, you know, how that book has spoken to me directly. So that's a book that I highly recommend. And I know that people can find that both on Amazon and on your site over at 48days.com, I guess, is where the book is, right?
Absolutely. Right. We've got lots of resources there. I'm having the opportunity because that book continues to do so well, 48 Days to the Work You Love. I'm now just completing a major revision that'll be released in August of 2014. It'll be the 10-year anniversary of that book, which is a fun kind of thing to do. Books usually don't have that kind of a life, but we're doing a 10-year anniversary with a major relaunch in August.
Well, congratulations on that. That's amazing. I've given that book away to so many people. I've bought actually multiple copies because I keep giving my copy away because it's so good. Let me tell you, you know, your appearance here is not by chance. You and I have spoken a little bit about the kind of people that listen to my show. And one of the things that constantly comes up in my discussions with people about building businesses, particularly on the internet, is that passion is really a critical piece of being successful. And by that, I mean that oftentimes internet business can be difficult, and business in general can be difficult. And the chances of being successful are a lot higher if you can actually focus on something that you really care about. And one of the feedbacks that I get when I have this kind of discussion with people is this word passion comes up, and I hear from people that they don't really know what they're passionate about. And I know that you talk about passion a lot, and one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, what do you tell people when they come to you and say, Dan, I just don't know what I'm passionate about?
Yeah, that's a great question, and certainly a very common one, Mark. Here's how I approach that. I like to work with people who have had a little life experience. And by that, I mean it's easier to answer some of these questions when somebody's been out here in the trenches for a few years than the 18 or 20-year-old. So I like to work with people who have had enough life experience where we have something to draw from. Finding one's passion usually comes not from just going to sit on a rock somewhere and hoping for that bolt of lightning strike, but it comes from looking at recurring themes. So we recognize, oh, it's when I'm doing this that I feel like I'm in the zone, like an athlete who's in the zone. It's when I'm doing this that I really come alive. It's when I'm doing this that time flies by. So it's in seeing those little indicators that we get clearer and clearer and clearer about what is the seed of a passion. But that really merits a little more unfolding as well, because passion does not show up full blown. We have the seed just in the same way that, you know, God may give us a talent as an artist. But that doesn't mean you wake up one morning and you are able to create $10,000 paintings. You nurture that, spend time in there, you practice, get training, coaching, learn more, and you develop that. So passion, really, in the way that we can identify, gee, you know, Michael Jordan is passionate about basketball, comes from investing lots and lots of time to develop that seed of an idea, seed of a desire that we recognize.
So let me interrupt you there for a second, and maybe we should unpack the word a little bit, because one of the things I hear a lot is some argument about what that actually means at all. So what does the word passion mean to you?
To me, it means something that is reoccurring, that when you focus on that, you know, your heart sings. You really just feel like this is something you would do even if you weren't being paid money for it. That really are some of the kind of concepts that we expect to come out of passion. Now, that takes a lot of different forms, a lot of different applications. People are passionate about bringing fresh water to people in third world countries. I mean, it can be something like that, but it can be that you're passionate about birds or wildlife, or you're passionate about writing. And this is a very individualized, personalized process. There's nothing cookie cutter about it. That's why even in the discovery of it sometimes, it doesn't take a very consistent path. People discover, they kind of trip over passion, but really a lot of it comes from just paying attention. A lot of people get so used to what in essence is their own version of Groundhog Day. They just, you know, go to work, boom, work Monday through Friday. The weekends they do something, they're back at work Monday. They just kind of get in that predictable pattern and they miss so much. So to discover the seed of a passion, I often help people interrupt their routine. Drive a different way to work. Read a book you would not otherwise read. Go to a concert, somebody that you'd never heard of before. Go to an art show, even if you don't enjoy art. Take a child and walk through the woods. You're going to see things you would not otherwise see. But you have to really have your antenna up, so to speak, to start to recognize these things. But everybody's got it there. And I spoke recently over near Memphis, and I spoke about, is now a time to hang on to dreams. There's a wonderful poem by Langston Hughes that starts off, hold fast to dreams, for if dreams die, life is like a broken-winged bird that cannot fly. real poignant kind of metaphor for what happens if you lose your dream. And a guy came up after me and said, you know, I don't have any dreams. And I said, well, that's not possible. You know, tell me about your life. This is a two-minute conversation. He's a pharmacist. What he described is kind of that image that we use sometimes. We talk about the frog in the kettle. It doesn't matter if it's scientifically true or not, but it's a great image. You know, we're told that if you put a frog in hot water, he'll jump out. But if you put a frog in lukewarm water and slowly turn up the heat, he'll sit there and cook to death because he doesn't respond to the little subtle changes. That's exactly how this guy described his life in the last 20 years. Changes in his profession, he just kind of went along for the ride, and in doing so became totally numb to really what his heart was telling him, you know, those childhood dreams, his own passions. So it's not a matter of superimposing something. It's a matter of peeling away life enough so that we can see what's already there. That's what I experience as I work with people who are trying to discover their passion. It's not that we're going to teach them something they've never thought about before. It's peeling back the layers of the onion so we can see what's there already and then develop it.
So in, you know, passion seems to me to be such a loaded word at times. Are these passions that you talk to people about, are they at the exclusion of all other interests? Because a lot of times I hear people say things like, well, I'm interested in many things, but I'm not really passionate about anything. Well, how would you respond to that?
That's a great starting point. And no, I don't expect it to be like the movie City Slickers, where Curly says, you know, one thing. I really don't go there. I mean, I have lots of things. I mean, I enjoy, you know, remodeling projects. I enjoy being out in the yard. I enjoy old cars. I go to car shows all the time. I love, you know, taking my granddaughters to the zoo. But those are not things that I'm going to develop into like an income generator. They're just interests that I have. Now, I could call some of those passions. But I think that's okay to have lots of things. But when it comes to creating an economic model, then we do need to focus in and say, okay, this is what I'm going to develop. Now, that's a different story. Now, there are a lot of times I run into people, especially creative people, who say, oh, you know, I can paint, I can sculpt, I can draw, I can dance, I can sing, I can... Well, that's okay, but you can't have much success if you're just all over the map. Ultimately, you have to decide, all right, this is what I'm going to focus on for the next 2 or 3 years. Doesn't mean you're rejecting everything else. Doesn't mean you'll never come back to them. But it means in terms of creating a business model, this is what you're going to develop. And I do think that ought to be right in the heart of something you're passionate about.
So what I hear you saying is there's a need to focus, or I might use the phrase to have a niche, and there's leverage in making sure that niche is well aligned with one of your strong interests or profession, or preferably something that you either already have or will develop into a passion.
Yes.
And so, So that brings another question. In your mind, are these passions interests that develop into passions, or are they some hardwired, predetermined, divinely inspired things that you're born with?
Wow. Boy, you wrapped some big questions in that one sentence. I don't have hard and fast opinions on that. I run into people who recognized a passion when they were 3 years old, and it's exactly what they're doing now. But I run into a lot of people who went through a lot of years growing up, going through school, with diversity of things, different family influences, and all of a sudden they're 40 years old and they haven't really identified a passion. Again, I think we can find the seed of a passion before that time, but for some of them, it's going to be developing something. It could be developing something that wasn't even a possibility 5 years ago. I mean, there are people that are passionate about, you know, development in social media. Well, 5 years ago, we didn't even have that term. We didn't know what that meant. So it doesn't need to be something that's been there for all eternity, but still there are characteristics of what is going to emerge for any given person that I think we can find keys to that even when they were quite young.
So, I'm sorry.
You know, I grew up on a farm, and I thought every kid had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and milk cows and throw hay bales before they went to school. I mean, it was a real revelation to me when I discovered some kids just got up, ate their breakfast, got on a bus, and went to school. You got to be kidding me. I thought every kid got up and spent 2 hours working before they eat breakfast and then catch the bus and go to school. So I grew up in that kind of environment, you know, working with your hands. But I was, even at a very young age, I was drawn like a magnet to books, to the Horatio Alger stories, stories about people changing their lives by changing how they thought and what they allowed into their mind. The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale had a profound impact on me and became a real foundational building block very young in my life. So I can go way back, even though I spent years before I was an author or speaker or a coach. There were a lot of things that happened in there that I did just living life and having fun before I formalized all those things. But I can easily go back to very early experiences in my life and point to things that tie directly into what I'm doing now.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but that Nightingale piece, you had that in a record and you had to hide it under your bed when you were a kid. Isn't that true?
That's exactly right. That kind of thinking would not be welcomed in our house. That's that kind of positive mental attitude where we're taking control of our lives. And with the kind of religion that I was raised in, being very legalistic, that was not something we did. We're essentially pawns. We just kind of get moved around by God through this miserable thing we call life, try not to screw it up too badly, and then we're all going to go to heaven and, you know, eat peaches and cream every day. That was kind of the model. So that idea of having things that we focus on, that we develop, that we control, that we turn into productive enterprises, that was really a stretch in my family environment.
Okay, so let me shift a little bit from your Mennonite upbringing, and two things on that. One is, for listeners who aren't familiar with the Mennonite church, I encourage them to just go read the wiki page, and you'll get an idea of exactly what Dan is talking about. And then the second thing is, I strongly recommend that you go get this Earl Nightingale recording off of Amazon. I think it's available for 99 cents now, if I'm not mistaken. It's called The Strangest Secret, and what, it's 15 or 20 minutes long, Dan, something like that?
Yeah, it's about 10, 15 minutes. I suspect they can find free recordings of it out there, or you can get a really beautiful gift book with an audio in it from Simple Truths out of Chicago called The Strangest Secret.
Okay, so I recommend that to listeners. I think everyone should learn about Nightingale because of all the great things that came out of that. But I want to get a little more grounded and practical here. When you're faced with someone who wants to make a change, but they don't know what they want to change to, obviously you're telling them to focus on something that they care about. They're complaining to you that they don't know what that is. You've mentioned some techniques for figuring that out. Do you have some more directed guidance about how to decide what to build a business around?
Yeah, I encourage people to start with something they already know about, they already enjoy, they already understand. So, I mean, really that can be something. I mean, here in the approach to my office here, there's this beautiful tree that was about a 65-foot cedar tree that some reason did not come back to life in the spring about 4 or 5 years ago. And instead of cutting it down, I thought, you know, I want to see things that other people don't see. Long story short, had a lady come out here. I said, Terry, I think there's an eagle trying to get out of that tree. And she agreed and released this amazing eagle. It's about 14 feet tall. The wingspan's about 6 feet out of this tree. Now, that's not something that you're going to just, you know, find in a book or in a list of occupational titles. It's not there. It's way too individualized for that. But she remembered at 42, being a burned out corporate executive, that how much she'd enjoyed spending time with her dad, who enjoyed whittling, working on wood when she was a little girl. So she built on that, not so she just goes and sits in the park on Saturday morning and, you know, whittles whistles, but she turned it into a focused business economic model, and boom, is rocking and rolling with that. So start with something that you already know, but you've got to have more than just passion. This is where a lot of people get stuck. They think, well, gee, I'm passionate about playing golf, but you know, you can never make any money doing that. Or I'm passionate about music, or I'm passionate about whatever. And it doesn't have to be just the creative arts. It can be anything. It can be, you know, computers. I'm passionate. We have to have three legs to the stool. Passion is certainly one. Talent is one. I mean, Lord knows the people we've seen on The Voice or American Idol, they're passionate about being in the music industry, and they open their mouth and you think, oh my gosh, who told them they ever had a future in music? Their passion exceeds their talent. So we have to have passion, but we have to have talent. Now, we can develop talent a lot, but there's still, we start with the seed of a talent that I think is already there. Passion and talent. But even those are not enough. There are a lot of people who want to change the world. They want to do something noble, want to make the world a better place. They have passion, they have talent, but they never create an economic model. And they just flounder around. Then they end up being frustrated, angry at God because they wanted to make the world a better place and nothing happened. Well, we have to very strategically create an economic model. And a lot of people struggle with that. And here's the irony. If somebody comes into something and says, well, we need to deliver oil down the Mississippi River, I mean, we just approach that as a business idea. But sometimes it's the very things that we enjoy doing the most that are the most challenging to develop an economic model. I work with a lot of artists, actual artists who paint on canvas. They are notorious for treating it as a hobby, but being frustrated because they don't make money.
Right.
How are you going to make money if you don't develop a business plan? Who is your target audience? What are you going to do for key marketing exposure? How are you going to let people know about what it is that you have, how they can be the proud owners of that? I mean, you don't just take a walk in the park with anything, but a lot of people have more difficulty developing their passion into an economic model than they do something that they just see as a way to make money.
And how do you reconcile, I'm cheating here because I think I know what your answer is going to be, but how do you reconcile the need or even desire to make money with the need to deliver value in a business and help people or whatever? Don't you find people worry about the fact that if they get money for something that they're the winner and the person that gave them the money is the loser?
All the time. And it absolutely breaks my heart to have it presented in that way. To me, if I want to make more money, I have to figure out how to serve more people. That's it. It's not complicated. How can I serve more people? If I serve more people well, back end, I'm going to make money in ways that I couldn't have even expected. It's not an either-or. This is not a win-lose proposition. If somebody pays me $20 for one of my books, okay, if they're $20 poor and I take my granddaughters to Taco Bell and now the $20's gone, that's a horrible model. I ought to hang my head in shame and go do something else. My anticipation is that by giving me the $20, they're going to open up a new area of their life that is going to explode their success. I hope they make $50 to $1,000 extra next year, and I get testimonial after testimonial about how people's lives were changed. In response to a $20 investment for a book or $8 for an audio or getting my podcast free, I mean, nothing thrills me more than to get the kind of letters I do as a result of from my podcast listeners to say, oh my gosh, I put in place what you were talking about. I just simply changed my attitude at work. You're right. The circumstances that I thought were so bad, the toxic environment that I was talking about, disappeared. Not only did I rediscover the joy of my work, my boss sat me down, gave me a 15% increase when it wasn't time for performance evaluation or end of year or anything. I get those stories all the time. I mean, how cool was that? So if I want to make more money, how can I find more people to serve? It's just that simple.
So I have one kind of last idea or question for you that I'd like to expand on, because I know we're running up against time here a little bit. But one of the things that I've seen, and I'll use our mutual friend Cliff as an example. I think if you asked Cliff Ravenscraft today if he were passionate about podcasting, which you might think by seeing how he behaves, that he would say no. He's not passionate about podcasting. He's passionate about the way he's able to help and reach and do things with people through podcasting. So he's become excellent in this one thing because he has this passion that's broader or deeper or more purposeful. And so I'm wondering what you have to say about that idea, that it's not that you're passionate about birds, you're passionate about the environment, and in order to leverage that passion, you work with birds or something like that. Can you comment on that a little bit?
Sure. I'd be delighted to. That's a great example that you gave me as the setup there, because I love podcasting, and certainly, I'm not sure exactly how Cliff would respond, but I know how his thinking goes, and I can share what's happened for me. I started this path that I'm on by teaching as a volunteer Sunday school class on career life transitions. That was the deal. Well, we discovered it was like a magnet in the community where we were having people come to the Sunday school class that were not even part of that church. They'd come there for Sunday school and then go back to their own church for the sermon. I thought, well, that's ridiculous. And in that, I'd have 30 to 40 people in our class. Then we moved it to a Monday night to make it easier for people to come. And we started having 60 to 70 people consistently would show up for that. Then I had a chance to be on the radio, and on WTN here in Nashville, 100,000-watt station, reaches into three states, and we started tracking Arbitron ratings like radio stations do, how many people are listening in a 15-minute period, and they said, well, you've got 600 to 800 people, which is really good. I mean, there are radio stations that have six people listening in a 15-minute period, so that was really good. So we get that kind of multiple. Then I started putting segments up on iTunes back in the when I started working toward podcasting. And oh my gosh, now we're hearing from people not only from three states away, but people from Ethiopia and Nicaragua,
right,
Brazil and New Zealand and Norway and Sweden. Now, you've got to be kidding me. So I left terrestrial radio totally, went to the podcasting. Now we have between 90 and 100,000 people who download my podcast. Podcasting is simply a method of connecting and delivery. You show me the next generation of technology or whatever that'll give me that kind of a multiple for our audience, I'm finished with podcasting. I'm not married to podcasting. I just find right now podcasting is an incredibly powerful way to connect with people. And it's our most powerful exposure tool right now for generating product sales, event attendees, coaching requests, all the things that we do. So the podcasting itself, I'm not passionate about that. It's the best tool that I've found to accomplish my purpose right now.
Excellent. Well, Dan, I really appreciate you spending time with me today. I want to encourage people to find you in one of the ways that I found you, which is through your excellent and amazing 48days.net community. Can you comment on that and what that's all about for me?
Yes. When I was approached by some helpful advisors 4 years ago about creating a social network, I said, we don't need another Facebook, MySpace. I don't care what somebody had for breakfast. They shouldn't care about what I had. And they said, no, we can shape this so it really connects people who think like you do. People are really serious about putting legs in their dreams and turning it into viable income generation. So I said, okay, we'll try it for 90 days, and then I'll decide if we want to continue it or not. Well, I was pretty blown away by what happened in 90 days, and so we've continued with that. But it's this amazing community. What I love about it is that it's not just all one-directional. People picking Dan Miller's brain. We have thousands of people who are brilliant, who are smarter than I in a whole lot of areas, who are willing to share their experience and their advice. So all these groups are happening in there, and we've got hundreds and hundreds of interactions that are going on any given day where people are asking questions, and getting the advice and opinion and help from a whole lot of other people. So I stand back just watching what's going on. There are times when I'm not involved in there at all. We've got a group of advisors, but it's this amazing community of people that really are linking arms. And I really believe in the old adage, a rising tide raises all ships. These are people who are unselfishly sharing and enjoying the success of lots and lots of people, and we're seeing it day by day. That's where a lot of these stories are coming from. 40ds.net.
And if people want to find you, of course, there's your podcast, which I highly recommend and listen to every week. And where's another good place to find you? I guess 48days.com is your hub of existence, right?
48days.com is our primary site. Lots of resources, my reading recommendations and all those things there. And people can find my blog, my podcast, newsletter, lots of resources that we've got there. I'm in a lot of places. I'm not hard to find at all. And we have these amazing events here in our property just outside Franklin, Tennessee. Just had one here last week. And those are experiences that are so outrageous, I find it hard to describe them. Each one takes on a life of their own. In this last one, we had a whole bunch of people here who want to be coaches. So this is helping people develop their coaching practices. But we went for a walk back through our nature trail, and there's a magnificent tree back there that's a mulberry tree that happens to be in full bloom right now, not flowers, with mulberries. I mean, I had this whole group of people back there, and we're gorging ourselves like a bunch of five-year-olds on fresh mulberries. But we really include people in our lives when they get connected with us. This is not just head knowledge. This is creating a life that is meaningful and purposeful. So we have a lot of things. We include our granddaughters. They do the drawings for door prizes at our events here and lead us around. We have a zip line people can go down. So this whole thing, we try to make it very difficult for people to determine if we're working or playing. I just love that model where it's hard to determine if we're working or playing. So when people get involved in our community, we just have fun together in a whole lot of ways.
Well, Dan, I really do appreciate your time. And I want to thank you, and on behalf of my listeners, I want to thank you for being here, and I hope you have an absolutely fantastic day.
Well, thank you, Mark. It's an honor to be your guest today. I hope we've maybe stirred up some cobwebs at least to give your people, your listeners, some new hope and inspiration. Thanks for having me on.
Take care, Dan. Thank you.
Bye.
Well, I hope you guys really enjoyed that. I just love Dan, and he is just an awesome guy. I can't thank him enough for being on the show. And once again, I really want to encourage you to get over to 48days.com and check Dan out. He's just a great guy and he can help you. I hope you have a great week.
Well, by now you know as well as I do that the sound of that music means that it's time to bring yet another episode of the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast to a close. I hope you found something valuable inside this episode that you can apply in your own internet business. I really do believe that you can get everything you want in life by getting other people what they want. And I hope I got you a little something that you want in this episode. Let me know how your business is going. Stop by the Facebook fan page and just say hello. Now go make some progress on your internet business. If you do a little of that every day, after a while, you're going to love the results.
Thank you for listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. This show rocks because of listeners just like you. And we really hope you enjoy this episode. We want to hear from you. Stop by latenightim.com/feedback and leave a comment, ask a question, record a message, or leave a review on iTunes. Mark does his very best to respond to each and every listener personally. Just let us know how we can help. Until next week, and have an absolutely fantastic day.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you build
talking to Dan was just such a highlight for me. I was so excited, and it's one of the coolest things about this job. You can pick up the phone and call anyone on the planet and say, hey, I've got this online radio show and I'd love to talk to you on the phone. And sometimes they say yes. How cool is that? Have a great day.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing, actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me in 2007 when I was trying to get started. There were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explained to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late Night Internet Marketing.